Welcome, ladies, to our Naomi's Table Bible Study. I'm Amy Spreeman. Today we are in the book of 1 Corinthians with teacher Beth Seifert. Make sure you go to naomistable.com and download the study guide to help you dig deeper. You can do these lessons on your own, with your women's church group, or gather some friends and learn together. These are some great discipleship tools. Well, let's open up our Bibles and begin today's lesson.
Welcome back to our study in the book of 1 Corinthians, ladies. Today we'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 2 through verse 16. And I've titled this study, Day 21, God Ordained Authority. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. Now I commend you because you remember me in everything and maintain the traditions even as I delivered them to you. But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, the head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head, but every wife who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, since it is the same as if her head were shaven. For if a wife will not cover her head, then she should cut her hair short. But since it is disgraceful for a wife to cut off her hair or shave her head, let her cover her head. For a man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God, but woman is the glory of man. For man was not made from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. That is why a wife ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor man of woman. For as woman was made from man, so man is now born of woman, and all things are from God. Judge for yourselves. Is it proper for a wife to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not nature itself teach you that if a man wears long hair, it is a disgrace for him? But if a woman has long hair, it is her glory? For her hair is given to her for a covering. If anyone is inclined to be contentious, we have no such practice, nor do the churches of God. Now this is one of the most interesting, and I think hard to understand passages in Scripture. I think it's been misunderstood a lot. Paul starts off with a small note of praise as the people do seem to remember Paul in all they've been taught, and they maintain the traditions he has given them. But this whole chapter really seems kind of out of place, but honestly, we have to remember that Paul was writing a letter. This was Paul thinking of what he needed to say to the people, and honestly, as he just said, be imitators of me as I am of him, this thought does follow logically. Oh, you're remembering me and sort of trying to kind of be imitating me and the traditions that I brought you. That reminds me that as I'm in authority over you, there's an authority structure issue we've got to address. And so he begins. Now, Paul is going to talk here about the general authority structure given by God and how that needs to be applied in general terms in Corinth. Paul is going to come back to address much of what he talks about here in more specifics later in chapter 14, but we need to take these a section at a time. Still, know that what Paul is about to say here is not contradicted later. He means what he says here, and he means what he says later. But this is not a specific rebuke, this is kind of a general one, so just keep that in mind. He's taking things one thing at a time, and he's addressing authority here. Paul begins by laying out the authority structure as given to us in Scripture. The authority structure has been ordained from before the world began. There is no plan B for God's plan. So the authority goes like this. The head of every man is Christ. The head of every wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. So it goes wife under husband, who is under Christ, who is under God. Got that? Now please note, clearly this does not say that every woman should submit to the authority of every man. That's not what it says. So if you are a single woman who does not have a husband, your authority would be potentially your father, but your pastor also would be one who you could bring questions to. That needs to be said because there are some men out there who like to act as though, by the sheer fact that they are male, they are in authority over every woman, and every woman should submit to whatever they want. But that's not what this is teaching. Because a man's direct authority is Christ, If he prophesies or prays, and keep in mind, prophecy does not mean foretelling, but if he prophesies or prays with his head covered, he sins, dishonoring not his noggin, but his head, Christ. If a woman prays or prophesies with her head uncovered, she dishonors her head, her husband. If she is single, she's potentially dishonoring Christ. Okay, so we need to understand a little bit of the culture of the day here, ladies. At this time, we need to think about what men and women wore. Think about all those movies that you've seen of Bible times with the people in period costumes. What did the women wear? And when they were not at home, especially. Part of their clothing was draped over their head, covering their head. What about the men? Well, they might wear a hat or of some sort as a protection, but most often, when the men were not tromping from one place to another in the hot sun, they uncovered their heads. So out in the hot sun in the desert, they covered their heads, and when they entered the temple, they uncovered their heads. Now, I've also read in some commentaries that at the time that this was written, there's the thought that there was a pagan practice of the Roman men who would pull their togas over their heads when they offered pagan sacrifices, whereas Jewish men left their heads uncovered. Now, today, Jewish custom is for the men to cover their heads when they're in prayer, but in the first century, that wasn't the case. That was actually a later tradition that developed in Judaism. But why is this so, and what does it mean to cover or uncover their heads? Well, we start to get the clue here in verses 5 and then 14 and 15, because it says, since it is the same as if her head were shaven, for if a wife will not cover her head, then she should cut her hair short. But since it is disgraceful for a wife to cut off her hair or shave her head, let her cover her head. And then verses 14 and 15, does not nature itself teach you that if a man wears long hair, it is a disgrace for him? But if a woman has long hair, it is her glory, for her hair was given for her for a covering. So clearly we see that short hair or shaven heads on a woman was shameful, right? It's disgraceful. And long hair on a man was shameful and disgraceful. But why? Is this just a preference issue? Well, in the case of a woman, to shave or shorten her hair in that way, she would be assuming the guise or the costume of a man, which is disgraceful. Shaving her hair, her glory, was to remove that clear distinction that would immediately be obvious as to her gender, and thus to her authority and her role. Likewise, for a man to have long hair blurred those lines between masculinity and femininity. It was considered effeminate and disgraceful for men to do that. So again, Paul is pointing to authority and is pointing to the way in which men and women can assume roles that are not theirs, upsetting the balance of authority established in Scripture. So remember, he established the authority order first, and that's the key really to unraveling all of this. This really isn't about the length of hair. Not really. By having short hair or no hair, a woman may remove visual distinctions between men and women. Thus, it is disgraceful for a woman to cut her hair this way, taking the appearance of a man and presuming to take his role or authority. That is what is shameful. She dishonors the male authority over her if she were to do such a thing. In the same way, as she is under the authority of her husband, if she prays or prophesies in worship with her head uncovered, as the men's heads were, she was shaming her husband and thwarting his authority. Look again at verse 6. For if a wife will not cover her head, she should cut her hair short. Now, Paul doesn't really want her to cut her hair short, but he's basically saying, if she's going to bring disgrace on her husband by not having an attitude of humility towards him and his authority in the way she dresses, then she may as well go ahead and cut her hair and let everyone know she's usurping his authority. Paul then points to the interdependence of men and women in Christ. And guess what? This is a beautiful picture that he paints here. Women are the glory of man, and her actions should reflect well on her husband. And the husband will be answerable to God for how he leads. Women are not made independently of men, and men are not independent of women. Originally, women came, literally, from man. But now, men are born out of women. And so are women, yes, but the point is the authority structure here, so stay with me. They are both, however, from God. And at the end of the day, that's what this is about. Submission ultimately to God and the order He has established. We are mutually dependent on each other, as we are in the Lord. As a wife, I have a unique calling to express the excellence of my husband in the way in which I carry myself. As a husband, my spouse has a unique calling to express how precious I am to him in the way he treats me. There are no grounds here for women to be treated with contempt, just as there are no grounds for men to be treated with contempt either. When we as women submit as we are called to do to our husbands, we honor God. Ephesians 5 talks about the nature of the relationship between husbands and wives, and we must remember that our actions speak volumes about what we believe about God. If my husband is supposed to love me as Christ loved the church, and my husband abuses or degrades me, his actions tell the world that this is how Christ treats his church too. If I refuse to submit to my husband, refusing to show honor to him, my actions tell the world that this is how the church should treat Christ. Ouch. We have this strange comment here too in verse 10. I scratched my head and looked at everything I could to figure out what in the world angels have to do with this topic. There isn't a whole lot of agreement on this, actually, but here's a couple of ideas that seem to me to be the most supportable by the context. One idea says that as angels were with God when he created the universe and established order and authority, they would be greatly offended by any violation of this authority structure. And as they have lived out their whole existence in submission to God, they would be even more likely to be offended by a woman usurping the authority God has given to men in the worship of God. Another idea put forth is, as the word used here is angelos, which means messenger, and that can refer to a human messenger as well, that this isn't talking about angelic beings at all, that this is talking about messengers being sent from church to church, who, entering into the church in Corinth, would be offended at the women who are overstepping their authority. Honestly, my husband favors the second idea and I favor the first. But here's the thing, the point's clear. Women usurping the authority of their husbands is not a good thing, especially in the context of worship. Paul then heads off a complaint before it comes. If anyone is inclined to be contentious about this, let them follow the example set forth for them. Neither the Lord, the apostles, or the churches would allow female rebellion or the subversion of the good order given by God. Basically, he's saying, quit trying to be different and new in your worship practices. Innovation should have real limits when it comes to what actually honors God in our worship. Okay, so over and over we see covering relating with hair. The very fact that we do not have a specific command of what a specific covering should be for a woman's head other than hair should really tell us that this isn't something we need to be so dogmatic about. The main things are the plain things, as Alistair Begg would say, so we're sticking to the main things and not getting bogged down in the unclear things. But here's the other thing. Ladies, if you disagree with me and your conscience is convicted that you do need to have some sort of actual covering other than your hair on your head, by all means, cover your head. That is between your conscience and God. However, if you look at me and think I'm sinning by not having a covering on my head in worship, that's where we need to take a step back, because Scripture does not tell us, other than hair is the covering, what specific covering there might need to be. In our world today, short hair is no longer associated as strongly with masculinity and long hair with femininity. Now, there are some extremely feminine haircuts that are also super short. However, there are also some super short haircuts that are decidedly masculine, and we should be careful, again, not to blur those lines. But just having short hair does not mean you are sinning. Our lives should be lived to bring glory to God, and if we are married, to bring honor to our husbands, not trying to usurp their role and authority, but demonstrating our obedience to God in how we submit to our husbands. So, in our world today, how might you, ladies, be usurping the authority of your husband, both in the context of worship and outside of worship? How are you submitting to him? How are you embracing the unique role God has given you as a woman, married or not? How are you honoring God in your femininity? How might you be dishonoring God? Whether your hair is long or short, there is an authority structure given to us, and it's real. Are you able to embrace that structure and obey God in that, or are you trying to change the structure to what you want it to be? Honor God, ladies, and rejoice that He has made you a woman for His glory and for your good. Ladies, you'll find the notes for this study under the Bible Studies tab of the website, naomistable.com, day 21, God-ordained authority.